Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. And Numbers chapter number 8. We have been reading through the book of Numbers. This was a week ago Sunday that we read this chapter. If you recall, I gave a story about those keepers of the Shoal Lighthouse. If you read that story, I mean, you know the story, so I know the Shoal Lighthouse, the keepers of the lighthouse. The keeper and the assistant keeper saw a man in distress, and they went out to help him, actually towed the boat back to the lighthouse, brought him in, showed him care and hospitality, treated him nicely, and in the middle of the night, the man that they brought into the lighthouse brutally murdered both of them, the keeper and the assistant. They knew there was a problem because for 48 hours, the lighthouse light was not lit. That motivated the authorities to come, and after a period of time, I didn't give you all the details of the story, but actually he held out for a while and didn't come out of the lighthouse, but ultimately he got hungry, and there was no food, and so he gave himself up, and they found out what he had done. But the idea was that there was a light that was supposed to be lit, that was supposed to provide safety to those ships coming to shore, that was not lit because there was somebody that did not care about it, somebody that was not willing or wanting to take the time or effort to light the light. In Numbers chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4, I'm going to take these four verses and apply it, maybe starting with the foundation of that devotional, but going on beyond that. In Numbers chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, he says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof, and against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the work of the candlestick was beaten of gold into the shaft thereof, and unto the flowers thereof, and was beaten work according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick." It was God's plan specifically that the candlestick should be shaped exactly as it was. God gave them the exact plan for this candlestick, for the lights to be lit. I closed the devotional that I gave a week ago Sunday with the poem, "You're Writing a Gospel, a Chapter a Day, by the Deeds That You Do and the Words That You Say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say what is the gospel according to you." It is our job as Christians to let the light shine. I'm going to take this from this text here and preach a message that I've entitled that God set the pattern. God set the pattern. God gave us a proper pattern. It was by God's design and God's plan that the candlesticks should be shaped exactly as they were. Long before they were ever crafted by men, long before they were ever lit by Aaron, God met with Moses all the way back in Exodus chapter 38 and verse number 17 and said, "Here is how I want the candlesticks made." He gave them the pattern. They were to make it exactly as God had set for the pattern to be, and they did so. I think it's interesting to consider and think about when we know, of course, that the Word of God is the light. This light, it's a light to our feet and a lamp. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We know that the Word of God is light, and we know that our lives are to be as a light that shines in this world. I think it's interesting as we're talking about the Word of God as a light that it was Aaron's job to light the candles. It was Aaron's job to light the candles. I take that responsibility very heavily as the pastor, and I need your prayers and your wisdom that God would give me insight and understanding into the pages of Scriptures that I might be able to take the Word of God and light the candles, as it were. That I might be able to light the candle in your heart, to give you what you need to be fed spiritually from the Word of God, that that light might burn bright in you. The seven branches of the candlesticks, seven being the number of perfection. Applying that to the Word of God, it is a picture of the perfect and complete Word of God that we have. Everything that we need for our lives is here in these pages. We have a complete and perfect Word of God. It was the job of the candlesticks to shine into a dark place. They were to be lit, that the light would shine over against the candlestick, that it would light the corners of the tabernacle, that the light would be seen and shed light into a dark world, and you and I are to be that light. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19 says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." Just as the candles were lit and they shed light into the darkness there, the Word of God shines its light into our hearts, into a dark place, into a place that maybe didn't previously see that. Maybe you previously couldn't observe that. But the Word of God gives us insight, wisdom, and light into our lives. And we take it and we see, as it were, once the light of the Word of God has shined on us, and we see what might need to be cleaned up or what might need to be changed or what might we've let go. As you and I are given light, it is our job to share light. We're supposed to take that light and give it out. We're supposed to share it with others. We're not supposed to just continue to absorb that light. You know, blackness, darkness, it absorbs light. I mean, it just eats it up. And if this whole room was painted a flat black, we have black carpet in here, all of the lights that we see right now, it would probably be less than half as bright as it is right now. Because that all of that darkness would be sucking up all of the light that was being shined. Well, we have Jesus Christ in our heart. The light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ, is not being sucked up and absorbed by us. It's supposed to shine through us. We're to share that light. Matthew 5:15 says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." As we learn truths from the Word of God, we're not to just hide them, not just keep them, not just say, "Oh, that was for me," but be willing to share them. The Lord has provided a proper pattern for the candlesticks here. But as we walk through the pages of Scripture, we can see many places that God gave us a pattern. We certainly could consider the tabernacle and the temple and all of the elements of it. But just as specific as God was with the tabernacle and the temple, God was that specific with the church. He gave us a pattern for the church. As we talk about the tabernacle and the temple in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and 9, he says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." God says, "Hey, I gave you a pattern. This is what you're supposed, how you're supposed to do it." And just as God gave them a pattern for the tabernacle and the temple, we have in the book of Acts a pattern for the church. And it's our job as a church to, as closely as we can and to the best of our ability, follow the pattern God has given us in the New Testament. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. This was a place where God manifests his presence. Now, there in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and then the temple was where God manifests his presence. Praise God today, because we believe in the priesthood of the believer, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. You can feel and know God's presence wherever you are. You can talk to your God in any place. You don't have to come to the sanctuary. But I'll tell you what, there is something special and precious about gathering in the sanctuary, about God meeting with his people where two or three are gathered together. When you come to worship him and God manifest himself in his church, it's a place where they worshiped him and gave honor unto him, just as we do in testimony time. Think of this. Consider this. We have a very general description of God's creation. Earth. God created the earth. And we have a very general description as to what it contained. And I mean, he made the land, made the sea, and all that was therein. I mean, pretty general. But think about the detail that he went into when he talked about the place he wanted to meet with his people. How specific the pattern that he gave, and how important it was to him that it be crafted after a certain sort. It's important that we follow God's pattern for the church. God also set and gave us a pattern for forgiveness in Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel chapter 43, verse number 10, he says, "Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern." What he was saying there is, he said, let them see what they've done. Let them see the pattern that I've given them, that what I've done for them over and over again. If they measure themselves against the pattern, they'll find how short they come, and actually will be ashamed. Ashamed. He said, let them see their sin in the light of my forgiveness, and they'll be ashamed. Just as tonight, several kids talked about how they're reaching the age where they start to feel appreciation for all that mom has done. And praise God, they have a heart like that, instead of the opposite, where they say, you know, you haven't done anything for me. What have you done for me? They don't recognize or see it. You know, isn't it amazing when you start to feel that and you realize what all they've done, you start to feel like, man, and I've added to that. And I've added to that weight and caused that burden and made this harder. And man, I feel so bad. I wish I would have been a better son. I think that's what God's saying. He says, in light of his love, in light of forgiveness, we would feel that. On the cross, as he was dying, tortured, beaten, and killed, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He gave us a pattern for forgiveness. Christian, how are you holding up to that pattern? How hard is it for you to forgive somebody who's offended you? Have they hung you on a cross yet? Have they beat you to within an inch of your life? Have you been strapped there, bleeding and dying, and have to look at them and say, I forgive you? What I'm saying is, God gave us a pattern of forgiveness that he wants us as his people to continue carrying on. He wants us to continue to have that spirit of forgiveness. Consider this with me. All heaven rejoices over one that is forgiven. Over the opportunity to forgive one wicked sinner, all of heaven rejoices over the opportunity of forgiveness. Why? Because that's what Christ came for. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to forgive people of their sin. And he looks for the opportunity. And when somebody finally comes to the place and says, "Man, I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me?" He rejoices and all of heaven rejoices. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to forgive. Do you want to forgive? Or are you looking for every reason to hold on to that grudge, to that problem, to that situation? God gave us a pattern that he wants us to follow. Over and over, he forgives. Every time we fail, he forgives. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I praise God he didn't have a line drawn for me and say, if you do this one more time. I praise God he said, if you come, I'll forgive you. God's given us a high standard, a high pattern of forgiveness. Christian, we need to be following this pattern. God gave us a pattern of prayer, and I'm not going to take time to go into this, but in Matthew chapter number 6, we have the Lord's Prayer, and he gave us a pattern about how we're supposed to pray. He said, when you pray, do it like this, and we could take an entire message and just talk about that alone. But he's given us a pattern on how to pray. But I want you to consider with me the fact that the devil has always provided a phony pattern. You see, God has given us a proper pattern and given us a pattern of what he wants us to do, but the devil will continue and always have a phony pattern for you to follow. He will. The devil will always take what is good and right and provide a counterfeit. A counterfeit gospel. A counterfeit Bible. I don't understand why it's so hard for people to grasp that the devil would want to provide a counterfeit Bible. A counterfeit worship. The devil has a counterfeit. You know, you think about this. The counterfeit's going to look a lot like the real thing. It's going to be similar enough that you could say, oh, this is what it is. Think about this too. A counterfeit usually is a lot easier to get. Last week or the week before, I sold my Toyota Sienna. Put it on Craigslist. It sold right away. I should have sold it for more money. But I sold it and got $1,100 out of it. And actually, the folks that came to buy it was a couple of gentlemen from Africa. And they came and they said that they were actually going to take it from here right to the docks. And it was going to get put on a boat and get shipped to Africa. I don't know how you could make money on a broken vehicle shipping it all the way to Africa, but that's what they wanted to do. Now, they paid me $1,100 in $100 bills. And you know what I thought? I thought, this is counterfeit money. But I wasn't 100% sure because it, you know, looked and felt like the real thing. They said, okay, we're going to go and we'll come back and get the van later. And I said, okay. And so I went inside and I handed the money to Mary. I says, Mary, I want you to take this to the bank right now before these guys come back from, you know, to pick up the van, because I want to make sure this is real money. Because counterfeit money comes a lot easier than real money. And praise God, it was real money. It was real money. It got put in the bank and the bank was happy and we were happy and they picked up the van. But, you know, the counterfeit looks like the real thing. It feels like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. And when it comes to actually spending it, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. The devil has a phony pattern. It may look like the real thing. It may feel like the real thing. It may act like the real thing. But when it comes down to the heart of the matter, when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, where your life is up against a wall, that pattern is not going to hold up. It's not going to sustain you. It's not going to keep you through that trial, through that struggle, through that time of life when you normally would rely on God. Ahaz, the king of Judah, in 2 Kings chapter number 16, he was the son of Jotham. He began to reign at 20 years old. If you read the story, he went to Damascus to visit. And there in Damascus, he saw an altar that he liked. Let me just read it to you. He says, "And King Ahaziah went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser and king of Assyria. And he saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof." And he patterned God's altar in the temple after that, a false altar. It was not God's pattern. Oh, it was magnificent looking. It looked good. And he came back. He began to pervert the worship of God's people by observing the sacrifices himself, which he wasn't supposed to do in the first place. But he had already perverted the worship by having the wrong altar in the place. Well, it looks similar, and it's okay. It's not to the exact dimensions that God said, but it's an altar, and we can sacrifice on it. So let's gather around. And he called all the people in. But what I'm saying is that he took a false pattern, a phony pattern, and God wasn't pleased with it. The devil will have a phony pattern for you to follow every time. It's also noteworthy that Ahaz was only 20 years old when he did this. Many times the devil will trick the young. Both the young biologically, but also the young in the Lord. Those that haven't been saved that long, they come in and they think, "Oh, what's wrong with this Bible? It's a Bible. What's wrong with this one or that one? Or why shouldn't we do this? And, oh, what's wrong with this church?" And they haven't got grounded or rooted, and the devil comes in so quickly to try and take them off to following a false pattern. God gave us a proper pattern that we're supposed to follow. And there's many things in the Word of God we could look at as far as a pattern that we're supposed to follow that God gave us. But no, the devil's got a phony pattern he wants us to follow. And this being Mother's Day, I wanted to conclude this with you thinking about the fact that you are producing and leaving a powerful pattern. You are the pattern for somebody else. You're writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel? According to you. The pattern you're leaving for others depends upon the pattern you're following. Are you following God's pattern to the best of your ability, fulfilling God's will and doing what God wants you to do? Or are you content in settling for a counterfeit and following a pattern that's phony, that's not going to hold up? It might even be flat out wrong, and it might be the world's pattern. But you're leaving a powerful pattern. There are so many statistics that show our young people, our kids, and where they end up based on what mom and dad did. You know that our kids pick up all our idiosyncrasies, all the stuff that they say they're never going to do. "I'm never going to act like that. I'm never going to say that. I'm never going to, you know," all the stuff they say, "I'm not going to be like that." And yet, when they're older, what are they like? It's the pattern that they've seen laid out before them for their entire life. And they can't help it. They begin to talk the same. They begin to carry themselves the same. They begin to act the same and tell jokes in the same way. And there's so many things that you look at and you can say, "Oh, you are just like your dad. You are just like your mom." Because of the pattern that they've had laid out before them. Even when in their mind they say, "I'm not going to be like that." And that's what they're like. They are the same way. Listen, we're supposed to be living our life according to the pattern that God has given us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 5 says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed unto thee. He said, do exactly what I've said. We're supposed to be living up to a pattern that God gave us, that those that come behind us would naturally be following God's pattern as well. Frederick William said this, little self-denials, little honesties, little passing words of sympathy, little nameless acts of kindness, little silent victories over our favorite temptations. These are the silent threads of gold which, when woven together, gleam out so brightly the pattern of a life that God approves of. Now, I know that was a mouthful, but he's saying, listen, at the end of your days, when somebody looks back at the pattern of your life, is it going to be a pattern that God approves of? When we talk about a habit of life, we're talking about a pattern. What is your pattern of life? Is your pattern to read your Bible every day? Is your pattern to be a soul winner, to be a witness? Is your pattern to be a giver? Is your pattern to be filled with the Spirit of God? Is your pattern to be somebody that's in control and led by God? Is your pattern to be a hard worker? Is your pattern to be submissive? Is it your pattern to love like you should? Is it your pattern to forgive like you should? Is it your pattern to live as God would want you to live? Because you are living a pattern every day, and those that follow behind you, whether it be your immediate family or those in the church that you influence week after week after week with the pattern that you set, they're coming after you, and you are leaving a powerful pattern. We're all leaving a pattern, a powerful one. Let me ask you, if you set the standard, if you set the standard by which others strove to attain to, what would your standard of soul winning be? If everybody in the church was a soul winner like you, if everybody in the church was a witness like you, if everybody in the church had a heart for the lost like you, what would the pattern be? What if you set the pattern for a church member? If every member at Hunt Valley Baptist Church was like you, how would the church be doing? Would we be a church of strong, faithful, God-honoring, God-pleasing, serving saints? Or would we be something else? What is the pattern that you're setting as a church member? What is the pattern you're setting as a giver? If everybody gave to God the way you give to God, would the church be doing awesome? Would the church be struggling? If everybody did it, how would the church be doing? How are you? What kind of a pattern are you setting? If you were the pattern for the mom or the dad that others in the church would look to and say, I'm going to be just like, would they be the right kind of mom? Would they be the right kind of dad? If you were the pattern for somebody who has a walk with God, everybody in the church had the same walk with God that you have, how would the church be doing? Would we be a church on fire because our time spent with Jesus and seeking the Lord and reading His Word? Or if everybody did what you do, would we be a weak, anemic church, barely making it? Because of the pattern that we're following. You know, a church is only as strong as its weakest Christian. the hedge that we can put about this church, except by the grace of God, is only as strong as the weakest member. If you were the pattern, how would we be doing? How would we be living a pattern of good works? Titus 2, chapter, verse number 7, he says, in all things show thyself a pattern of good works. In all things show thyself a pattern of good works. Are you showing yourself a pattern? Titus 2, verse number 7. Are you showing in all things a pattern of good works? You say, oh, well, I've got it right here, but nothing. We're not going to talk about anything else yet. And listen, I understand. We've mentioned a lot of things tonight. We just put a whole bunch of plates up in the air. I understand. I don't know where you're at. Only God does. But I hope that you'll allow the light of the Word of God to shine into the dark places of your heart tonight. I'd say, man, you need to step it up right here. You need to, I tell you what, if anybody's following me right here in this area, I better fix this. If anybody's looking at me, if I'm setting any kind of a pattern for this, I need to work on it. Listen, it is not our works that save us. But many times, it is our work that bring others to salvation. Tweet that. It is not our works that save us, but many times it is our works that bring others to salvation. Your kids, many of the younger generation in our church, whether we're talking about younger in the Lord, or younger, actually younger physically, they're following the pattern some of the older members of our congregation are setting. The older ladies are supposed to be examples in teaching the younger ladies. That's biblical. That's what's supposed to be happening. They're following your pattern, not what you say about how much you love God. That's not what they're following. They're following the pattern that is displayed, that they see. They're following what you and I do, what they see us do, over and over and over again. Billy Graham said this, children will inevitably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. Give them a target to shoot at. Give them a goal to work toward. Give them a pattern that they can see clearly. And you have given them something that gold and silver could never buy. What kind of a pattern are we setting? The Apostle Paul set a great pattern for us. Jesus Christ set a pattern for us. God gave us many direct patterns in His Word of God for how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do. And many times there's not any question about what it is. I know the devil's got a phony pattern, and it's easy to get. It's easy to follow. But it's going to fail. We've got to follow God's pattern. And then how are you for the pattern? How are those that are following you going to do if they do exactly what you do? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Not until each loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly will God unroll the pattern and explain all the reasons why. The dark threads are needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver for the pattern which he planned. We don't know what God's doing in our lives sometimes. We don't understand why there's dark threads and dark times, but God is weaving a pattern to make something truly beautiful of our lives. Are you following the pattern He has for you? If not, do something with God tonight.